The camp houses 250,000 of the millions of refugees in rows and rows of tents. The New York Times of December 29, 1971, published an article by its special correspondent from Rangpur in East Pakistan, today Bangladesh, about a camp for refugees who, after the end of hostilities, returned to their native places. "Mr. Jodar," wrote the correspondent, "went to the home of his maternal aunt, Thakur Dasi, a widow, who had returned earlier after losing two daughters and a son to cholera. 'Have you come, my children, to share the misery?' she asked. 'I doubt Rangpur will be the same again. They say when people die prematurely, they become ghosts. I think the village is full of ghosts.'" This Bengali widow, who had lost three children, seems to have formulated in a refugee camp the general principle of tragedy. In the tragic world, the dead return. The tragic hero is alone among people, perhaps because he lives, like Antigone, in the world of the dead, in the world of those who have been murdered or whom he has murdered himself. The dead demand first to be buried, but later they demand redress. The appearance of Banquo's ghost at the banquet was Macbeth's most shattering experience. It was then he understood for the first time that it was not enough to kill once. The dead return. Only three ghosts appear in Greek tragedy: Clytemnestra, the mother snake, tries in vain in the Eumenides to wake up the sleeping Furies. In the Persians, Darius returns to learn of the defeat suffered by his son and goes away forecasting more defeats. Polydorus, murdered and unmourned, asks in Euripides' Hecuba to be buried by the hands of his mother and forecasts the death of the last children of Priam. Ghosts and corpses call for revenge. The altar in the center of the orchestra, often turned into a grave, or the bodies of those killed laid in the proscenium, fulfill in Greek tragedies the function of the ghost. Agamemnon's tomb is placed on stage in the libation bearers, and like the ghost of Hamlet's father, he asks that his death be avenged. Ajax's large corpse, its nostrils still spurting blood, continues to threaten the living in the second part of Sophocles' tragedy. The return of the dead and their stubborn demands are the most obvious form of destiny in both ancient and Elizabethan tragedy. To the end, the dead do not want to die. The living are still their ultimate nourishment. The succeeding generations must satisfy the demands of the dead, give meaning to their defeat, and restore justice to the world. But this mediation through time and through history only ends in tragedy, with new corpses filling the stage. The dead eat the living.